Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel 28. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. And we say, thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive that there is clarity this evening. There is no confusion, no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word. And the truth of God's word is taught with simplicity, with accuracy, with precision. There is no confusion. At the end of today's meeting, our saints were edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. 28 verse 18 to 20. Matthew 28 verse 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, that is of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. Lo, I am with you always, till the end of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized is saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, shall take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Luke 24, verse 46. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behove Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and the repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name, in his name, in his name, among all nations, beginning at where? Jerusalem. Now, so same thing in John 20. Look at John. John 20, verse 31. Look at John 20, verse 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Now, take note of that verse very importantly. That ye might know that Jesus is the Christ. That ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Look at that again. That ye might know, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that, so Jesus is the Christ and he is the Son of God. So Jesus the Christ, that is the Son of God, or Jesus that is the Christ, that is the Son of God. Take note of that very importantly, right? So, and that believing that what? Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God. Ye might believe and ye might have life through his name. Hallelujah. So we've come to understand what the name of Jesus is about. We're coming to understand. I won't try to draw the curtain around on this series this evening for now. Now, we're trying to explain what the name of Jesus is, and we've come to understand that names fundamentally will deal with functions. And the name of Jesus is too important to our Christian faith. The name of Jesus is what our Christian faith is hinged on. The name of Jesus is the summative statement or the summary of our Christian faith. So he says, ye might have life through his name. Now, in the book of John, just go back to chapter 1. John 1. Look at John 1. John 1, verse 12. Now, we just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John talking about the same thing about his name. His name, his name, his name, his name. So it means that the entire promise of God from Genesis up until the resurrection of Jesus can be summarized in the phrase, the name of Jesus. Are we together? The entire promise of God from Genesis up until what you call the resurrection, or what is the resurrection, can be summarized with the phrase, the name of Jesus. Look at John 1:12. John 1:12, it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, what do you receive when you believe on his name according to John 20? Life. Beautiful. What do you receive when you believe on his name according to John 1:12? So, power to become what? Sons of God. Now, we are to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and in believing that, we receive power to become what? Sons of God. I'll say it again. We are to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and in believing that, we receive power to become sons of God. Are we together? So it means that in the resurrection, there is an empowerment we have received, and we've come into an inheritance. We have come into his name. We've come into the fulfillment of his name. That is, we've come into the fulfillment of his work. So we started looking on Sunday about the prophecy from Isaiah 7:14, and it says, "And the virgin shall conceive, and a sign shall be shown to all, and a virgin shall conceive, and she shall give birth to a child, and his name shall be what? Emmanuel." So Emmanuel is one of the fulfillments that we will see in the resurrection. Let me say it this way: Emmanuel will be a name that will carry the fulfillment of what of being sons in the real sense in the resurrection. Let me say it better. So in the real sense, Isaiah by prophecy will talk about an Emmanuel, and that will be the name of God in the resurrection. Are we here? So God will bear the name Emmanuel in the resurrection, but on the lips of Isaiah, we will find the name as a promise. Are we together? So it means that when we see Jesus, or when we believe, when we see in the resurrection, we actually have something we've come into. We've come into life, and we've received power to become the what? The sons of God. So it means that in the real sense, all the promises of God from the foundation of the earth, that is from the beginning, is fulfilled in the name of Jesus, is fulfilled in the work of Jesus. Are we together? So if we say the promise of God is fulfilled in the work of Jesus, it means that we will find out what the promise is about from the writings of Moses and the prophets. So it means that we will not discard Genesis to Malachi just because we think there is Matthew to Revelation that is supposedly called the New Testament. So we will get a proper explanation of what he really fulfilled in the resurrection by looking at Moses and the prophets. Beautiful. Are we here? So John will tell you that we are to believe that Jesus is the Christ. So it means, now, where are we to actually see that record or that properly recorded firsthand? In the writings of Moses and the prophets. Are we together? We will see it firsthand recorded in the writings of Moses and the prophets. So when John will tell you that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, we will first see those spelled out properly in the writings of Moses and the prophets. Are we together? So what is the name of Jesus really talking about? Right? What is the name of Jesus really about? Now, we said the name of Jesus is the word Yeshua. Is that true? Which is what? Joshua. Right? And summatively, you can say salvation has come, or the deliverer, so to say, or the one that brings in or brings out or takes out or delivers from and brings into an heritage, you know, an inheritance, so to say. But we said that in the day and time of Jesus, people bore that name. Praise God. Praise God. People bore that name. So people bore the name Yeshua. People bore the name Joshua. Right? But Jesus will be the fulfillment, or will be the person that will fulfill what the name prophesies about. Or Jesus will fulfill what the promise of the name is about. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. So it means that it will be clear in the resurrection what the prophets would have been speaking about. Okay, let me help you a little. So Isaiah 7, look at Isaiah 7. I quoted that just quickly, just earlier on, paraphrase, but look at Isaiah 7. Look at Isaiah 7, verse 14. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Now, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold," what's the sign? "A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, I hope you know that the birth of Jesus from the Virgin Mary was a surprise. Let me say it this way. I hope you know that it was shocking. I hope you know it was a talk of the town. Are we together? Are we together? Because that will be the first time in human history that a woman will not, or claims to not have slept with her husband, and she's pregnant. So where do you suppose that the virgin birth will make sense? Okay, so prophecies will go ahead, and as a promise, speak about how a virgin shall conceive. Right? Now, if I ask again, where will that prophecy make sense? It cannot be in the incarnation, because clearly it doesn't make sense. Are we together? Are we here? it cannot be in the incarnation because clearly it doesn't make sense. So where will the birth of the virgin, or where will the virgin birth make sense? It will make sense in the resurrection. Right? So it is through the lens of the resurrection. So you will now see that the resurrection will validate the virgin birth. Are we here? What did John write about? That you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God and he is the Christ. And through that you have what? Life. So what do you believe to have life? The resurrection, right? So the resurrection, if you believe the resurrection, you believe that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Son of God. So in believing that, you validated his virgin birth. Are we here? Are we here? So the virgin birth will make sense in the resurrection. So in the real sense, from the resurrection, that is where we will see that the virgin birth is validated. So it will be clear in the resurrection why he was. Now remember, it was just before he was born that the encounter between Mary and the angel happened, and by prophecy again, the name that he will bear was given. Right? We saw that in this series, right? Bible tells you that the angel said his name shall be Jesus, for he shall save his people. Is it when Mary gave birth to Jesus that he saved? So where did Jesus save? Where is Jesus going to save? In the... So it is when Jesus will resurrect that we now use that lens to revisit the prophecy or the meeting of the angel and Mary. Did you get that? So the angel will come and say, his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. So it means that in the incarnation, he will bear as a promise what he will fulfill in the resurrection. Did you get that? I'll say that one more time. In the incarnation, he will still bear as a promise what he will fulfill in the resurrection. Because what saves man from sin is not the incarnation. Right? So in the incarnation, he will bear the name Jesus, what he will fulfill, or he will bear the name he will fulfill in the resurrection. Just like others. So other people will bear certain names that will be fulfilled by Jesus in the resurrection. Jesus as well, in the incarnation, will bear a name that he will fulfill in the word resurrection. Are we together? So it means that from the slant of the resurrection, from the slant of the victory, or from the slant of the victory over sin and death that Jesus had, which he has really, the birth in the incarnation or the virgin birth will make sense. Let me say it again. The angel will come, meet Mary, and talk about the child that Mary will bear. And he will say the name of the child is Jesus for, right? So the function will be for he shall save. Okay, look at it this way. So does that mean that the angel met Mary and spoke to Mary and said the name of the son will be Yeshua? Is that it? Is that it? Remember, Joshua is in English. Are we here? Joshua is in English. So in the real sense, see, God will communicate to mankind in mankind's language. Do you get that? Right? So it means that the angel will communicate to Mary in a language that Mary will understand. So, can we say the angel will meet Mary and say, you will bear a child and his name shall be what? Yeshua. Now, if we say Yeshua is what we call Joshua, and there was a Joshua in the scriptures, right, which Mary would have known about. Are we here? Yeah, she would have known about it, right? So, it means that there will be other people in that season. So, that season when Mary had the encounter of the angel, there will be other people bearing the Joshua-like name. So, there will be other people bearing Yeshua. So it will mean that there is something more to the message of your child shall become Joshua if there is something more than what other people will bear. So whilst other people will be saying, Joshua, come here, to their children, this Joshua will fulfill what the Joshua they bear would mean. So his name will be called Joshua in the resurrection. But John now makes you see that Joshua you see in Joshua in the resurrection, that Joshua you see, which is Yeshua, which is Jesus, you are to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Are you here? Are you here? You are to believe that that Jesus, which the angel spoke about, that is that Yeshua, is the Christ. And that he is the what? The Son of God. So, it means that when you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you believe that he is the Christ, and you believe in his resurrection, what do you receive by extension? You receive life. Then John 1:12 now tells you what? To them who believe, he gave power to become what? The sons of God. So, what is Jesus being the Christ, being the Son of God, really about? It's really about the name of Jesus. Are we here? So, the name of Jesus is about the work he will do as the Son of God. Right? We, John 3:16 will tell you, for God so loved the world that he what? Okay, Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have what? Everlasting. That's John 3:16. Same thing you see. So you see it in just three chapters in the book of John. Are we together? So it means that when we pay careful attention to the name of Jesus, we must see something else other than the frivolous, or let me say this way, other than the basic spelling J-E-S-U-S. So it means that the name Jesus is more than a wonder charm. Altogether. So it means the name Jesus is more than what you just shout and say. Praise God. Now, so we said that this promise that will be fulfilled, that we will summarize as the name of Jesus, has been there from Genesis 1. So you see Genesis chapter 1 tells you in the beginning God what? Created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without what? Form and void. And the what? Darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, right? And God said, let there be what? Light. And there was what? Light. And God did what in verse 4? Called the light day, altogether, and the darkness he called night, altogether. Now, from verse 3, he says, God said, let there be light. Let there be, we've explained it to be the word I am in Exodus 3:14. Are we together? That word, there I am, is the word ayah, right? And it's the word that means to be, right? So we explain that, and we say that, and God separated the light from darkness, that is, day from night. Now, and the word separated is to what? Set apart, distinguish, right? What again? Differentiate. What again? Divide. So God divided the light from the darkness, that is the day from the night. And we see that that is done in the message of the resurrection. Are we here? So the promise of the fulfillment, or the fulfillment of the name of Jesus, was a promise that has been stated and has been ongoing from the beginning or for the foundation of the world. Praise God. Praise God. So in the same Genesis 1, you now see verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Now, we said that verse 3 says, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And we said, let there be is I am, which is in Exodus 3:14. When he says, I am that I am, right? So I am. So how do we read Genesis 3? I am light. All together. So God is light. Are we here? Which Paul will tell you about the light of the glorious gospel of Christ in 2 Corinthians. So God is light. In verse 11, God is the what? God is the seed. Look at verse 11 again. And God said, let there be. The herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after. Now, we said that word here in the Greek, his kind, is a word that speaks about an offshoot from its root, or what you really say as a reproduction, not in the literal sense, right? So, bring forth fruit after his, not its. He is kind. So, God is light. God is the seed. Now, the Garden of Eden. What's the Garden of Eden? The enclosed region of what? Pleasure. Now, what was the only tree found in the Garden of Eden? Tree of life, right? Tree of life is not literal, right? Are we here? Same as tree of knowledge of what? good and evil. Right? So think about it this way. There is no tree called tree of life. Right? So if there's a tree called tree of life, it means that there needs to be a fruit called life. Now, how do you eat life? By believing that what? John tells you by believing that what? Jesus is the Christ, that is the Son of God. So if you are to eat life by believing, it means that the tree of life is about the person you have to believe. Do you get that? Do you get that? The tree of life in the garden, remember, like we said, Garden of Eden, tree of life, tree of knowledge of good and evil, they are not literal trees. Yeah? For there to be a tree of knowledge of good and evil, it means that there is a seed you can plant and to germinate in the land. And when it's growing, everybody will say, wow, seed knowledge. Right? Just help me plug good and evil from there. Just quickly help me plug good and evil. While you are coming, just stop by and plug good and evil. Are we together? Right? I know we've talked about the conversation of good and evil, good evil. We've done a little study on that, really. You know, so in God's garden, an enclosed place of what? Delight. Is God's garden about God? Wait, the Garden of Eden, is that a promise to Abraham as the land? Okay, hold on. What do you find in the Garden of Eden? Tree of life. It means you must be in the Garden of Eden before you eat from the life, from the tree of life. Are we here? What did God promise Abraham? A land. Are we together? When you come into that land, what do you receive in the land? Tree of life. Okay. Life. Hold on. We've come to Mount Zion, city of the living God. Are we together? When we've come into that Zion, what do we have? Okay, so when Jeremiah tells in Jeremiah 31 that a new covenant will I make with them, right? A new heart will I give them, right? That is a new, what is the new spirit you receive in the new covenant? Eh? Can you talk like ministers? What is the spirit that God gives you? Holy Spirit. What is the spirit God gives you? The new spirit. So God gives you the new spirit. So Bible now tells you in John, he says, I will give you another comforter. Now the word another is the word alos. Comforter is the word parakletos. Now the word alos deals with that which is of the same. So in the Greek, there's what you call the alos and the heteros. Now the alos speaks of that which is of the same kind. So when you see in the English translation as another, it's not a different. That's why the next verse or next verse now tell you, I will not leave you comfortless. I will what? Come. So, okay, you are answering now, right? So when Jesus comes, what has come inside you? His spirit. What is his spirit? That is himself. What is that? Life. Is that life? You know the word the spirit. You know, I did that teaching when I was talking about the cool of the evening. Remember that teaching? Right? And how we spoke about how the spirit of God is actually about his life. Right? So in the real sense, what we receive is Jesus himself as the comforter. That is the Allos Parakletos. Right? Are we here? That is also the new spirit of Jeremiah 31. That is what? Life. Right? So now we've received life by believing on his name. So it means that when we've come into life, we've come into his promise. So it means that God's promise to Abraham is a land that has life. Is that true? You just said it now, that what God promised Abraham was himself. And you also said that what God promised Abraham is the land. Right? So if what God promised Abraham is the land, it means that when anybody comes into the land God promised Abraham, you will meet God inside, or you meet brother, the life inside, and the land is about God. Are we here? So what land has life? Garden of Eden now, that has the tree of life. Are we together? All figurative. Right? So when we come into, so now, you know, that's what Revelation now tells you about eating the tree of life. So when we've eaten, when we believe that Jesus is the Christ, we've come to eat the fruit of life from the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. So we have all come to God's Garden of Eden. Are we together? And God's Garden of Eden, God's plan is for his garden to be the entire earth. Right? Because God wants all men to be saved. So God wants every man to be found in the garden. So the garden of Genesis 1, 2, 3 is the same Mount Zion of Hebrews 12, which is the city of the living God. Are we together? So now, we that are in that garden, are we light? Those that are out of the garden, darkness? Okay, we in the garden, are we day? Outside the garden, night? Are you here? We in the garden, we are part of the, you know, the offspring or the offroot of the offspring rather of the seed that was promised. So the land is about the seed. Is that true? So when Genesis 3 now tells you that the seed of a woman shall bruise, that's about Jesus, which we have said is the land, which we have said is the one that supplies life. Are we together? So in God's land, there is light. Are we together? In God's light, in God's land, there is what? The tree of life, which we've eaten and we've received life. In the real sense, what did you eat to receive life? John tells you it is that believing that this Jesus, who, that is Jesus, the name that he will bear in the incarnation, is the Christ, that is the Son of God. Praise God. So we started talking about what names imply in scriptures and how names come to be in scriptures. And we said when Adam was calling animals names, he was actually describing what? Functions, right? So Adam, Moses is not writing to show you Adam in his zoological class, but in a spiritual class. Are we here? Are we here? Now, mind you, what you call lion today, Adam never knew the word lion. Mind you, again, what you call lion in the Hebrew, Abraham did not know the word lion in the Hebrew. I hope you remember that, right? Because Hebrew was not the language that Adam would have spoken. Because Hebrew is an offshoot from the lineage of Abraham. Are we here? So what Moses is showing you in Adam's conversation about animals is to speak about their function. That is why the first mention of the name of an animal will be the snake. And it is in regards to a what function, which you now say, and the snake was more subtle than all the beasts of the field. What should you see from that narrative? Snake or subtlety? So snake will be used to describe what? Subtlety or what? Deception. Are we here? Are we here? So we've come to understand that Adam will give names based on functions. We also looked at how some of the people bore names based on the prophecies that their parents had. For instance, we had likes of who? We have the likes of Methuselah, whose father was Lamech, whose father was now come again. Noah was the child of who? Lamech. Methuselah was the child of who? Enoch. So who was the father of Lamech? Methuselah. Who was the son of Noah? Jaffa. That's what everybody knew. Because they remember Boots. Chen, Jaffa, Naphet. Oh yeah, who was the father of Lamech? Enosh. Yes, okay, it is well. Let's give the excuse that the website has been down. It's been down for a while. So go to Exodus 3. Exodus chapter 3. Verse 14. So Jesus is the Emmanuel. Jesus is the Joshua. Are we here? Jesus is the Noah. Are we here? Yeah. And Jesus is also the... You know, Jesus is the real Melchizedek. Right? He has to be King of Peace. Altogether, he has to be the Prince of Peace, the King of Peace. So in the real sense, those names bore function. Now look at Exodus 3. Let's start our study for this evening. Exodus 3, 14. Now Moses says unto Jesus. Did I say Jesus? Moses says unto God, number 13, verse 13, Exodus 3, 13. It says, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? Hold on. Names are about what? Function. So what is the real question Moses is asking? Exactly. What should I tell them you are doing or you will do? Don't miss that. Right? So Moses will ask God, God, what should I tell them you will do or you are doing? Mind you, the children of Israel were not new to the conversation of God. That is why Moses could say that, oh, the God of your fathers. They knew about the God of their fathers. You get that? So it means that the conversation of a God was not going to be new to them. So look at verse 13. He now says, verse 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. So thou shalt say, I am. So now let's do a quick study on that. Now the word here, I am, is a word that includes I am and I will be. I am that I am. A word that includes I am and I will be. It's a verb. It's a word that is a verb. Like that's why we explained in our earlier series from Genesis chapter 1, let there be. So the let there be is the exact word I am. Are we together? So when Moses will ask God, what should I tell them you want to do? Or what should I tell them you are doing? He says, I am. Tell them I am. I am. So the question will now be, I am what? Or I am going to do what? Now look at chapter verse 15. And God said moreover unto Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord of your fathers, that is what? The God of what? Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. So it means that the Lord of your fathers is equal to the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and is equal to what? I am. Are we here? The Lord God of your fathers is equal to the Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and is equal to I am in verse what? Verse 14. He says, this is my... Are you in verse 15? Exodus 3, 15. 1, 2, 3, go that part. This is my name. For what? Forever. Right? And this is my memorial unto what? Now look at Exodus 6. Exodus 6, 6. So the question will be, when you say to the children of Israel, I am, the first thing they will look at that word as is a conversation of a verb. That means they are waiting to hear what he will do. Remember that. Never forget, I am is equal to let there be in Genesis chapter 1, verse what? Verse 3. So God said, let there be light is equal to God said, I am light. Right? So I am is a what? A verb to be. So it means that the verb I am will be a present perfect tense. Are we together? It will be a perfect tense. So it will include a present work, an ongoing work. So look at Exodus 6. It now says, wherefore say unto what? Those same children of Israel. Are you there? Exodus 6, 6. Are you there? Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am what? And I will. Can you see that? Can you see that? When you see the name I am, you must not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. What does it mean to take it in vain? to take his name without his function. So he says, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will lead you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a what? A stretched out arm, and with what? Great judgment. Verse 7 now says, I'll take you to be for a what? So it means that, what is he planning to do? He's going to save so that we can have him, and so that he can have us. You get that? So I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the what? The Lord your God, which what? Bringeth you out from under the what? Burdens of the Egyptians. Verse 8 together, 1, 2, 3, go. So is it, I will bring you to the Garden of Eden? Are you here? So I am the Lord that will bring you into the Garden of Eden, right? So let's read again. 1, 2, 3, go. I will bring you unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and I will give it you for an what? Heritage. I am the Lord. So Jesus is going to bring the promise of God to pass, not only to Israel. Now, the promise of God in the real sense. Okay, hold on. This land that is promised in Exodus 6, is it Canaan physical land? Mind you, this land that is promised, right, that God will promise in the real sense, is it Canaan physical land? Will God deliver? What would that be? Will God deliver? What is? Oh, yeah. It is from point A to Z. What is a deliverance? Hold on. Don't be too technical. God will miraculously deliver them through the hands of Moses and lead them through the hands of Joshua into that is a physical. Who don't know is physical? What is the physical place? I've been saying this all day, all through this series. It is a sign. I confused you because I did like this. Pointing to. So this promise in Exodus chapter 6. What is the real promise? Is it a sign that's the promise? So it means that whilst the Israelites will be delivered into that land, the promise in Exodus 6 is not about the land. It's about what? Himself, which is the land, which is the heavenly Jerusalem. Are we here? So this promise in Exodus chapter 6, is it for the Israelites alone? No. So the Israelites will be examples of what bondage and freedom will look like. However, the promise for the entire earth. That's why I was telling you sign. So whilst Israel will come into Canaan, that is a sign. Never forget, Canaan is a sign. Never forget that. Canaan is a sign. The promised land is a sign that speaks about God himself as the land promised to the fathers. Are we together? So God himself is the promise. God himself is the promise. So God is going to take us into himself as the land. God is going to bring us into his land that is his promise. So can we say the name of the land is the name of the promise, or the name of the land is, or let me say it this way, the promise of the land is about the name of Jesus. Because it will be fulfilled in the what? Resurrection, he says, from sin. Now look at Philippians 2. So we must understand what the promise is about and what the name of Jesus is about side by side. Remember, we did a teaching on that in this series. We said you cannot separate the promise from the name. Right? We said they are interchangeable. We did that in track 2, I remember. Look at Philippians 2. Now, when we start looking at Paul, On Sunday, look at Philippians 2. We started looking at Paul on Sunday. Verse 9. Are you Philippians 2, 9? Can we read together? Philippians 2, 9. 1, 2, 3, go. Read like ministers. 1, 2, 3, go. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Are we together? So, is God's name above every other name? Is God's name above every name? So, verse 10 now says what? That verse 11 together, 1, 2, 3, go as ministers. Tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, on Sunday, we started looking at this narrative and we said that this is a conversation that Paul is teaching from the book of where? Isaiah. Remember that, Isaiah 40, 45, when he says there's only one God, there is none beside him. We taught that on Sunday, right? Right. So, it means that Paul will read this narrative or will have the writings of Isaiah in mind. Mind you, at this point when Paul will write the book of Philippians, he had experienced the Damascus, right? What did I suppose? he has had the Damascus journey. Are we together? What did Jesus reveal himself to in the Damascus journey? We saw that on Sunday. I am Yeshua. I am Jesus. Hold on. So the question is, in the real sense, what did Paul see on his road to Damascus? Are we together? Look at Acts 9. So before you will see Paul write Philippians 2, Damascus experience has what happened? Look at Acts 9. Acts chapter 9. So, look at Acts 9, verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from what? Heaven. And he fell to the earth, and what? Heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Paul now says, who is that? And what did Jesus now say? I am Jesus whom ye persecuted. So what did Paul really find in there, in this experience? You find out that in the real sense, we said earlier on that Paul had access to the scriptures. And Paul was a scriptural man. I was together. Paul could, he was one who you would call a scriptural lord. So Paul could quote scriptures by heart. Are we together? So it means that in the experience of Paul, Paul would have actually taken note of the scriptures and put it side by side with the vision he was having or with the experience he was having, so to say. Are we together? So it means that Paul will read the Old Testament books and he will find out that the Jesus he was persecuting was the God he knew but did not know. Are we here? Paul had read Genesis to Malachi and he knew about a God. So the God of your fathers, can Paul relate to that? If you looked at Paul before this encounter and you said the God of your fathers, can he relate? Because he would have the Abraham, the Isaac, the Jacob in mind. Are we together? So see what I just said. So it means that in the experience of Paul, you will see Paul reading alongside his experience what he has seen from scriptures, and he will come to find out that the Jesus he is persecuting is the God he knew or knows about but did not know. Okay, let me explain this to you. So imagine I'm Paul. You are Jesus's flock. That is the body of Christ. Right? And this is me, Paul. So before I started persecuting you, this is my life. I have read Genesis to Malachi. Right? So your head now appears to me. Right? And in that encounter, your head presents himself as Jesus. whom you persecute. Now, remind you, Jesus, he never met physically. Right? And Jesus, he never threw a stone at. But he threw a stone at Jesus by throwing stone at the church. Are we together? So, he would take his encounter that he's having with the presentation of Jesus alongside with the writings of the scriptures, and he will find out that your head is the God he has been reading from where? In the scriptures. Are you here? He will find out that your head, which is Jesus, is the God of his fathers. That is the God of who? Abraham. The God of who? Isaac. The God of Jacob. So when he rereads the Old Testament, he will find out that Jesus is God. Is that true? He will find out that Jesus is the Son of God. And he will find out that Jesus is the Christ. Where did Paul find that out from? His experience having the scriptures as the what? Foundation. Are we together? So it means that in the real sense, when we look at what Paul did to come to a proper understanding, so it means that Paul's writing of the epistles will have two foundations. One will be primary, one will be secondary. What is primary? Scriptures. What is secondary? His experience. So what you call Philippians, what you call Ephesians, is birthed from a place of conviction from both the scriptures and his experience. But he will validate his experience with the scriptures. Are we here? Are we here? Now, who wrote the book of Acts? Luke. Who wrote the book of Luke? Now, you know that Luke was a student of Paul. Are we here? Luke was a student of Paul. And that was the bias he had, such that you see today, most of Acts is almost like the book of Paul, on Paul's biography. You know, from Acts 19, everything changed. Luke just makes you see Acts 1, Jesus was on the scene one time on one. You know, he preached for 40 days. Peter preached 3,000 souls. From Acts 9, he now tried to shock you. He now went to Acts 10, he now talk about Peter, Cornelius. He now enters verse 11 small. Went back to Peter 12, 13, till 28. Now, I want you to take note of something, which we'll look at in season 2 of this series. Luke will write the book of Luke to who? Theophilus. Right? And he will write the book of Acts to who? GP, the church. Look at Luke 1. Oh, yeah, check your Bible. Look at Luke 1. When I ask you, no answer. You're not saying, look at Luke 1. Look at verse 3. Luke 1, verse 3. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most what? Excellent Theophilus. Look at Acts 1. The former treatise have I made. Oh, what? So who did Luke write the book of Luke to? Theophilus. Who did he write the book of Acts to? Now, mind you, so who will be the primary character in the book of Luke? Wait. Who is the primary character in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? What does he have for you to ask for Luke? Luke wrote about Paul in the book of Luke. I just asked, who was the primary character in the book of Luke? You don't know. I say, who is the character in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? You know. So, who is the main character in the book of Luke? Who is the main character in the book of Acts? Paul. Jesus was not main, no. Jesus was not main. In fact, most of Jesus' name is based on regards to Old Testament scriptural explanation. Right? So, you can say Luke's first letter will be about Jesus and Luke's second letter will be about Paul. So Paul will have a bias for his teacher and make the book of Acts more about his teacher. And you will see so many similarities between what Jesus would have thought and what Paul would have taught. What I'm saying is not for this series. I was together. You will see so many, now you see so many encounters. You will see that Jesus was on the way to Emmaus, right? When you met a few people, right? And you speak about how that you see how Luke would tell you, did our heart not burn when he preached? Where did Paul's conviction start? On the road to road. Are we together? Right? Paul will teach about how faith comes alongside understanding, right? Jesus would do the same. I don't want to go into all of that, right? Yeah. So in the real sense, Jesus, or Paul rather, would have read together the scriptures, right? And his eyes would have been opened. Praise God. Now look at what Luke now makes you see from the book of Acts 24. Very similar. Luke was a very brilliant writer. Mind you, Luke will write the book of Luke upon the resurrection. You know, I've said it before. History shows that a lot of the epistles were already written and in circulation before the four gospels were written. Are we here? Right. So, and this leads to that teaching I was doing about in faith and healing series. When we're talking about how Jesus will ask them not to say or speak about the signs, are we together? Tell people the miracles they experienced until the resurrection. Why? Because the sign is to be explained through the lens of the resurrection. Right? There's no point preaching the message of the sign or preaching the sign when there's a message that will come through. He expected that the signs and the message should go hand in hand. Right? So you would actually come to understand that when Luke will write the book of Luke, there were very sensitive words he would use that were similar to Paul's ministry as well. Are we together? And it was right to the same person, Theophilus, like we've established right now. So look at Acts 24, verse 24. Acts 24, 24. After certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, that sounds like one. Come again? Sounds like what? Which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning what? Faith in Christ. Are we here? Look at verse 14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the what? Prophets. Now, after many years, verse 17, I came to bring alms to my nations and offering, whereupon certain Jews from Asia found him purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult. We ought to have been there before thee and an object if they had aught against me. Now, verse 22, and when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or to come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife, we just read that. 26 now says, so now, if you look at it very well, Drusilla came to hear him concerning the faith in Christ. What was he speaking about in verse 14? God of my fathers. So what was Paul teaching? Faith in Christ from the writings of the God of the fathers. Are we here? Where did Paul come to that revelation? From the scriptures, by extension, his experience. So Drusilla will want to hear. So in the real sense, what is Drusilla wanting to hear from Paul's mouth? Faith in Christ, but in the real sense, it is about the God of his fathers, God of their fathers. Don't lose what I'm about to say. So he says, I want to hear concerning the Christ. And now says, and as he reasoned of righteousness and temperance, the judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have convenient season, I will call for thee. And he hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might lose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came unto Felix, or into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jew a pleasure, let Paul bound. Now, this is Paul's experience amongst, you know, the high and mighty. Now, look at 26. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, this Agrippa's own, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I was accused of by the Jew. Now, jump to verse 14. And when we were all fallen on the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying, look at verse 13. And at midday, O king, I saw in the way a what? Acts 26:13. I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and then which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why what? His name did not still change, right? I kick against the bricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he says, I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. But rise, stand upon, and give him for instructions. He now says, verse 16, he says, I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a what? Minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things which have appeared unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. To do what? To open their eyes, right? Is that what Jesus did as well? Beautiful. So to open their eyes and to turn them from where? Darkness. Is that what Jesus did as well? From the power of Satan unto God. Can we say from the power of Satan to become power unto the power of, to become sons of God? John 1:12. Right? And that they may receive what? Forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. 19 says, whereupon, O King Agrippa? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Whereupon, verse 19, 1, 2, 3, go. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. So it means that despite that divine encounter, Paul had a willpower to disobey or not disobey. Are we together? So I wasn't disobedient to the heavenly vision. He now says in verse 20, in 20, but showed first unto them at Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, and they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For this cause, the Jew caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Look at verse 22 carefully now. Carefully, okay? Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to what? Small, great, saying. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which what? Are we there? Than those which what? The prophet and Moses did say should come. That what will happen? Christ will suffer and be the first to rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people, to the what? Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art mad. That's the summary. Are we here? Thou art mad, my adorable darling, right? So thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. Are we here? What was Paul teaching? You know, it's interesting. When you teach God's word for what it is, from the writings of prophet and scripture, they say you are mad. But you know that testimony might have been different if Paul was teaching vision. Are we not here? So people who pay attention to the Bible, you know, it's interesting now. You know, when you were in school, people who did well in school, you exalt them. Wow. You are excited for them because they go out of their way to study. But in the Christian faith, when you study, you are from, you know, all this new movement doctrine. Paul already knew the scriptures. The vision was just to bring to forefront all he has read or all he has known in the scriptures. So where did he say, what did he say he did? 22 now says, having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, saying no other thing, right? No, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and to great, saying no other thing, which Moses and the prophets did say should what? Come to power. What did they really say? That what? Christ should suffer. Are we together? So what stood out in Paul's ministry? The vision and the encounter or scriptures. Scriptures. Are we together? So what did Paul do with that vision? He reasoned scriptures through. And in reasoning scriptures through, he came to that conclusion that the God of the fathers is the Jesus he was persecuting. Are you here? Have you gone home? Right? So his mind was open to scriptures. So Paul will read the writings of the prophet and the writings of Moses together. And in reading that, so remember, he will not read it as different books, but as a single book with a single message. Look at verse 25. But he said, I am not mad. What a defense. Most noble Festus. He says, but speak for the words of truth and what? Soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am what? Persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in the corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophet? I know that thou believest. And King Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuaded me to be a what? What is that he say? He said, the main small that just be converted. I was together. And Paul said, I would to God, that small be lie. To God who made me. I would to God that not only you, but also all that hear me today. What were they hearing? What Moses and the prophets have been saying. Now, I would that all that hear me today were both almost and altogether such as I am, except this one. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doth nothing worthy of death or bonds. Then King Agrippa said unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Look at 27, verse 23. He now goes 23, he now says, for there stood by me this night at the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that say with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was what told me. That's now the encounter on the ship. Look at 28:23. He says, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many of him into his lodgings, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning who? Jesus, both out of the what? Law of what? Moses. Is that the writings of Moses? And out of the, from what? Morning to evening. Do you see at any point when his vision was the message? We saw that in Acts 26. Did we see his vision as a message? 27, vision as a message? No. Did you see the vision as a message in 23? Acts 28. Now look at 31. And Paul dwelt, verse 30. Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, that is a rented house. Are we here? That means Paul did not have a house. Are we together? Yeah, so his own hired house, and received all that came into him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man what forbidding him. So what happened to Paul? He reasoned the scriptures alongside the revelation he had. So in the vision he had, when he hears God says, I am Jesus, he comes to understand that what he has known from the scriptures as the God of the fathers is the Jesus of whom people who are identified with him, he is persecuting. Do you know what I said? I'll say it again, right? So Jesus will appear to Paul and say, I am Jesus, I am Yahweh, I am Yeshua. Right, then Paul will reason that through the scriptures which he has already known and put side by side. Yes, because the knowledge he has come into is the knowledge of God is the Son, that is Jesus. Remember, in the writings of the apostles or the disciples about Jesus, they will call Jesus the Son of God. I mean, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his Son. What did Paul find out? Paul found out that Son Jesus gave is the God of the fathers. Are we together? That is why you will notice in all his writings how he introduced himself. So Paul will start his letter and say, grace be unto you. From who? God. Let's see. Look at Romans 1. Let's quickly go through it. Look at Romans 1. Are you there? Paul, a servant of, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of Christ, which he had what? Promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures concerning Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. So when Paul will go through scriptures and we see the promise of David's seed sitting on the throne, what would that speak to Paul? It would mean that God wants to come in the flesh. right? When you see prophecy about David's seed will sit on the throne and sit on the throne and all of that, it is talking about the humanity of God. But it now says, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the what? Resurrection from the dead. Look at verse 6. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that are in Rome, beloved of what? God called to be saved. So who are those beloved of God? They are those called of Jesus in verse 6. So this is introduction in Romans, speaking, making you understand that being called of Jesus is being beloved of God. Look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1. Let's go through this quickly. 1 Corinthians 1. Are we here? 1 Corinthians 1, 3. Grace be unto you, and what? 1 Corinthians 1, 3. Are you there? Grace be unto you. 1, 2, 3, go. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father. What did Paul find? Paul found out that the God the Father, that is the God of the fathers, is the... So when he now says, grace be unto you from the God, right? The Father, what? The God our Father, and what's the word there? And Kai, that is. Are we together? So Paul found out that the God of the Old Testament writings is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians 1. Excuse me. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. So what it says there? Paul, an apostle of who? Jesus Christ, by the will of God. So Paul now starts referring to himself as a servant of the Jesus, which is who he found out to be the God of the fathers. So look at it again. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus, and to the faithful in... Now let's read verse 2 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Grace be to you, and peace from who? God our Father, and from? So God our Father, that is from the Lord Jesus. Look at Galatians 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ. Galatians 1:1. Right? Are you there? But by Jesus Christ, that is God the Father, who raised him from the dead. What did Paul find out? That Jesus is the God of the fathers. Jesus is God the Father. Look at Philippians. Philippians 1. Verse 2. Grace be unto you and peace. So, Paul now made sure that he started most of his epistles reminding them of what he found out in the encounter from the scriptures. Look at Philippians 1. Are you there? Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the what? Lord Jesus Christ. So what you see, or what we see as the Pauline revelation, is actually a Pauline reading from the scriptures, or a Pauline's way, or a Pauline's decision to examine his vision from the scriptures, or his experience from the visions. Right? So it means that if we reread the writings of Moses and the prophets, we'll find out what Paul found out. What did Paul find out? Jesus is God. That is, Jesus is the Father. That is, Jesus is the Son of God. That Jesus is the Christ. Are we together? Are we together? So when you now see Timothy and Moses, so Moses, Paul will go back to Moses. Look at Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 4. So Paul, for instance, in Moses' writing, we'll go back there, verse 35. Deuteronomy 4:35. Are you there? Are you there? Unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord he is God, and there is what? none else beside him. Look at verse 39. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thy heart, that the Lord is God in the heaven above, and upon the earth beneath, there is none else like him. Look at 1 Kings 8. Verse 16. It says, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none beside him. Do you think that these were the scriptures that Isaiah 45 had in mind? There is none beside him. For his glory he will not share with anyone. He will not give. Remember that teaching on Sunday? So, alongside, is that what Paul had in mind? Are we here? So whilst they will be in a generation where there will be idols, so many idols, remember, you must not take away the fact that there were idols continuously up until Paul's time into our time. That's why you look at 1 Corinthians 8. Look at 1 Corinthians 8 quickly. 'So God is the one that made the promise to Abraham and he fulfilled it. That is his name. He's the first, he's the last. That's what you call Alpha Omega. The promise initiator and the promise fulfiller. Yeah, so in him, that's what Paul now tells you, in him all the promises of God are yes and what? Amen. That is done, fulfilled, sorted. So look at Paul in 1 Corinthians 8. What did Paul find out? He found out that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is the Christ, and that he is the God of the fathers. Look at 1 Corinthians 8. Now, as touching things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffed up. Are we here? Knowledge puffed up. But charity edified. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet he, as he ought to know. You know, some people use this thing to terrorize doctrinal people. Are we together? Yeah? Knowledge puffs up. Knowledge puffs up. Knowledge puffs up. That's why it's looking like that. You don't know so much. You don't know so much. So when somebody is trying to teach you God's word, knowledge. You know, it's easy for you to assume that someone who knows better than you is proud. I hope you know. No matter how much you try to bring your shoulder down, someone that has a very corny heart will still see pride. Why is his shoulder down now? If that is not pride. This life, be careful. Right? So, he's talking about idols in 1 Corinthians 8. Remember, Corinth is a confluence city where so many doctrines and cultural behaviors have influenced or have come into. So, you can say like Abuja, for instance. Whilst people are from Edo, even though people are from Abuja, but you have some confluence cities where people come from all around the world to just, you know, start their life. And so, you will meet different cultures. Now, it speaks about idols in 1 Corinthians 8. It now says, but if any man love God, the same is known of him. Now, where do you think he's teaching that from? Writings of Moses. Anyways, so he now says, as concerning therefore the eating of those things which are offered in sacrifice unto what? We know that an idol is what? Nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but what? But what? But one. Where is it teaching from? The prophets, by extension, Moses. We just saw that in Isaiah 45 and as well Deuteronomy chapter 6. We read that this evening. Are we together? So, for though there be that are called gods, yeah, whether in heavens or in earth, as there be gods many, and what? Lords many. But to us there is what? But one God. There is but one God. There is but one God. Now, that word, there is but one God, is a word that is spelled this way in the Greek. H-E-I-S. Please take note of this while we close this series, okay? H-E-I-S. And is a word that is not used as the number, quantity, or unit of numbers as we use today. But it's a unifying term. Are we together? The word there, one. So, for there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not saying there's a unit number one of God, a unit number one of Jesus. But the word there, one, is. Let's just use the English version. He is, but it's a Greek word, right? And it's a unifying term, not a unit of number. So Paul now says to us, there is one God. So is that what Paul found? found out that there is what? One God, and there is none beside him, and is the Jesus that will what? Redeem mankind through the resurrection. Are we together? So he now says it about God the Father, of whom all are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit, this knowledge is not in everyone. Do you think Paul knew what he was saying when he said this knowledge is not in everyone? He knew what he was saying. He knew what he was saying, because he himself as well persecuted the expression of God in man form, which is Jesus. Are we together? So, howbeit, there is not this knowledge in everyone, for some with conscience of idols unto this hour, they eat as a thing offered unto idols, and their conscience being weak is what? The Father is teaching love work amongst them, you know. So, Jesus will now ask them, for instance, the great command. What is the greatest commandment? Or they will ask Jesus, and he will respond and says what? To love God, right? And love thy neighbor. Now, remember, was that the same instruction Moses gave? When he says, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. Remember that teaching? Right? The Lord your God is one. Thou shalt love, he now gives what you call the Ten Commandments that we summarize in two sentences according to Jesus. Right? So, in the real sense, that is the exact message that Moses has been passing from Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 when he says, and Adam and Eve became one flesh. Was he not preaching? Look at Genesis quickly. Genesis 2:24. Are we here? So when he says Genesis 20:24, what do you say? Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become what? One flesh. Now the word there, one flesh, is the word ikad. Now that's similar to the word we just gave in the Greek, H-E-I-S, is ikad. Now we said ikad is a word that is a unifying term as against a unit of what? Unit of number. I hope we are still here. Beautiful. So it means that when Paul will go back to read the scriptures, he will find out that you will find out about what the one flesh is about, which is speaking about the unity between God and man. That one will lead to his revelation in Ephesians chapter 5, when he speaks about husbands and wives and all of that. So Paul will go back to the writings of Moses and reread it and find out that God is actually the Jesus that resurrected from the dead. Are we here? So will Paul have read Abraham again? Would he have read Abraham again? Do you think Paul read Abraham again? After the encounter, do you think Paul read Abraham again? What do you think he would have found out? That the land promised to Abraham is God himself. What do you think he would have found out when he read Isaac? That Isaac is not the seed that God made the promise to Abraham. Indeed, in your seed shall the nation of the earth be blessed. All together. When he reads Abraham and he sees Abraham at Mount Moriah, what will he find out there? God is the one that supplies himself as a sacrifice. Are we together? So when we read about the seed, he will see that God himself is the seed. So God himself is the land. God himself is the seed. So it means that when you now read Paul's letters, are they going, with how short they are, are they explanations of the Old Testament books? Are we together? There will be explanations, but can we call them summative explanations? Because for a single line Paul will use, we will quote from Genesis 2, Deuteronomy 6, Isaiah 45, Jeremiah 31. So to understand Paul's Pauline knowledge, he must be a good friend of Moses' line and the prophet line. Are we together? So Jesus will meet Paul. Paul will say, who art thou, Lord? Jesus will say, I am Jesus. I am Yahweh. I am Yeshua. I am the God of the fathers. Right? You persecute me. So that became Paul's revelation and Paul's understanding of who God really was. And so it means that Paul now began to say, oh, of a truth, I know who the God of the fathers was and is. So Paul will understand better who I am is. Are we together? Can you see the conversation of I am that I am still comes in when Jesus reveals himself to Paul? So that knowledge of I am Jesus, does it have a cue from Genesis 1:3? Let there be. What did Paul see? a bright light, right? Let's not go into that. There's season 2. Watch out. Right? So Moses will tell you God said let there be light. Moses will tell you that, oh, let there be is equal to I am. You now take Moses' I am into let there be, Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, and you see I am light. You will now see that Jesus will reveal himself to Paul as I am Jesus. Are we together? So it means that God's plan from time has always to be. Are we together? What would that be? Or rather, to be in what form? To be as light to man. Are we together? To be as what? Light to man. That's why you now see John will now tell you in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was what? God. In him was what? Life. And the life was the light of men. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. They will now finally call it a day in Acts 9. Look at you. You are not dead. Go to Romans 10 for me. Okay, I want us to visit Romans 10 through the lens of Philippians 2. So we are really going to Romans 10. We've not left there, but we're going to visit you through the lens of Philippians. So open to Romans 10. Then let's use the lens of Philippians 2 verse 9. So Philippians 2 verse 9, Paul now tells you, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Would that be above every other name of every idol, every god, every name on the universe? Why? Because the function of Jesus in the resurrection is unique to Jesus. Are we together? Romans and Philippians 2, I'm in verse 9, right? So the function of Jesus will be unique to Jesus. So it now tells you in verse 10 that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every tongue should confess. No. Every knee should bow. Things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. Now let me ask you a question. Is this conversation for demon casting? I mean. Verse 11 qualifies verse 10. It now tells you that every tongue should what? If ye confess your sins. Now remember, the word there, confess your sin, is not to say your sin or confess your sin like the way you want to confess in the police station, but to say the same thing God says about sin in the name of Jesus. Altogether. So if we confess our sins, that is able to forgive. So that every tongue should confess that the Jesus Christ is that Jesus is Lord? Is that Jesus is Christ? Is that Jesus is Son of God? Is that Jesus is the God of the fathers? Is that Jesus is the light of the world? Is that Jesus is the seed of Abraham? Is that Jesus is the land promised to Abraham? Is that Jesus the Word of God? So that Jesus is the Lord to the glory of the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. What did he now say? Walk out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. Verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you by his name. Hey. By his name. By his work. By his reputation. By the resurrection. So it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his what? Good pleasure. Now remember, we're looking at Philippians, Romans 10. That's where we really are. Look at Romans 10 verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy what? With thy what? That the Lord Jesus, and shall what? Can we say and believe in his name? Can we say confess what his name has done? So believe in his heart, in your heart, that God hath what? Raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be, for with the heart man believeth unto what? And the mouth confession is made unto what? For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be what? Ashamed. Right? Verse 12 now says what? For there is no difference between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon what? The name of the Lord shall be. So does God want all mankind to call upon his name? How would that be done? Look at the next verse. How then shall they call him in whom they have not? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not what? And how shall they hear without what? And how shall they preach except they be? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet, is that Isaiah 52? Beautiful feet of them that what? Caruso, the angelion, of peace, and bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed. So did Paul have to obey the gospel? Did Paul have to obey the gospel? For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed? So he now tells you, faith cometh by hearing, and what? Hearing by the word of God. Now let's end in Acts 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Let's have a quick read there. So Paul found out who Jesus was from his knowledge, or in the real sense, by putting that experience side by side or through the lens of his reading or his knowledge of scriptures. Let's say the reading of scriptures, so to say. Are we together? Acts 9. And Saul, yet breathing out threatening and slaughter against disciples of the Lord Jesus, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus of the synagogue, and if he found anyone on his way, whether they be men or what? Women. That means women also were given to the things of God. That's our next series. He might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as they journeyed and came near Damascus, suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Right? And the light that shone about him was to reveal that I am Jesus. I am light. So Paul fell to his face also, what persecuted me. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. His heart kicked against the brick. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what will thou have me do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand, right, and brought him into Damascus. And he was there for 3 days without what? Sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias. To him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one man called what? Saul of what? Can you see? So the vision to Paul and the vision to Ananias both carried Paul with his name Saul. I was getting a Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayed and had seen in a vision a man called Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered alone and said, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he had done to thy saints in Jerusalem. And here he had authority from the chief priest to bind them that call on. Beautiful. How they call upon their name? There was people who preach. Are we together? Right? By the Lord, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear what? My name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my what? My name's sake. Right? And I asked, went his way and entered into the house, put his hand on Saul. Now what did he call him? Brother Saul. We're not sure if it's from place of fear or knowledge. Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, had appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, had sent me that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been what? As he received sight, forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was what? Then was Saul certain days with disciples which were where? Damascus, and straight away he preached what? Can we say he preached the name of Christ in the synagogue that he is the what? So where did he come to that conclusion, or where did he teach that Christ is the Son of God from? Scriptures, right? But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not he who destroyed, you know, on them which call on the name in Jerusalem? And he came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound to the chief priest. But Saul increased the more in what? Strength, and confounded the Jew which dwelt in Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jew took counsel to do what? In order to kill him. But there, their laying and wait was known of Paul, right? And they worked against day and night to what? Kill him. Or shock them. Disciples took him by night and let him down the wall in the basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he assayed to join himself to disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was. So, but you can keep going on and on and on to understand the conversation that was happening there. Yeah. So we've come to an end of season one of this series, right? The name of Jesus. So the name of Jesus is about his function altogether, what he will do in the earth, and what he has done in the earth, and what he is doing now.